If you would, let's open up our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 22. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for another day that you've given to us, dear Lord. Another day living in the land of just temporary, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, one day we'll depart from this old world, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, we want to hear you say, well done. We want to hear the welcoming committee to us in the house of God, dear Lord. We want to have Jesus say, here's the place that I prepared for you. So Lord, we ask you to be with us, dear Lord. That's why we're here. And dear Heavenly Father, sometimes we come together and we just have service and psalms and a message and testimony and go home. And dear Lord, you said that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you would be among us, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful for that promise, dear Lord. But one day we're here for a purpose. We want to make heaven a home, dear Heavenly Father. We want to gain every a bit of strength and faith that we can get, dear Heavenly Father, because we have a great enemy that we're facing. We have a great opposition in the world, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we know we have to stay close to you. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God. And even as Brother Herschel mentioned, I was thinking as he was testifying, as he did, I believe, this morning and this evening, dear Lord, he was thankful being able to house of God again. But Lord, I thought how many people are completely well able. And dear Heavenly Father, there's no sickness, they're young, they're able to move. And dear Lord, they chose not to be here. They made a decision. Dear Heavenly Father, it may not have been an audible decision or a decision that they come up with, I'm not going, but dear Lord, they chose not to be under the sound of the gospel. So Lord, we are thankful that we have this privilege, dear Lord, and we don't ever want to take it for granted. We don't ever want to get it relaxed in our life, dear Heavenly Father. And so we ask you to be with us, encourage us, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to be with us as we open up the Word of God again this evening. We ask you to anoint the Word. You see the thoughts that I have, that it'd be a blessing and encouragement to us, dear Lord. Challenge, whatever it might need to be. Dear Heavenly Father, that you'll just bless us. Anoint me, anoint the Word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In Matthew chapter 22, picking up in verse 1, this is a parable that Jesus gave of the marriage of the king's son. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by a parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, for the oxen and the fatling are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. And they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and he entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth the armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up the cities. And he said, then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, to the wedding, and furnished them with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, and not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king unto the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, and gnashing, and wailing, and teeth. Verse 14, and Jesus finishes it, the parable saying, for many are called, but few are chosen. I want to take my thought this evening out of verse 11 and 12. We know the story very well and heard it many a times. And in verse 11 and 12, read again. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man that had on not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. We know that as this parable went on, and we know this is a call for souls. God calls for souls, and I thank God that an invitation had gone out, and that many received this invitation. And he says, as they came into the wedding there, and they were coming into the wedding, there was a garment provided for them. And every single person, every soul that was at this wedding, they had on that garment, a wedding garment, a prepared garment for them. And I, just as I was sitting there thinking about the message a little bit, and the thought came to my mind, as verse 11 here, I think it was verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guest, he was the one that noticed that a man had not on a wedding garment. Now maybe some others noticed, maybe some others may have recognized it. Of course, the ones that provided him for the garment, and he rejected it, in whatever way he rejected it, they knew it. But none of those made any contact with the man. None of those forced the man. But when the king came in, he recognized that there was a person in the audience that did not have on a garment. A garment that he knew was provided for them. A garment that he knew was supplied to them. It wasn't something they had to earn it. It wasn't something they had to pay for. It was provided. And he came to this man. He asked him, a man, a question. He goes, why do you not have on the garment? And the man said that he, and the parable said, he was speechless. Why? Why was he speechless? I believe we know every single soul. I don't believe there's going to be one soul stand before the judgment bar of God and is going to question or make comments or make excuse or give God of reasons why they weren't saved. Of why, in a sense, we're using the parable, of why they didn't have on a garment. There's not going to be a soul that's going to stand there and argue with God or just go back and forth with God to why it is. He says he was speechless. I believe that every soul upon the face of the earth, they know that time and that day when the garment has been provided. Now you got to stay with me with the thought of spiritual application here now. And this is a spiritual application, this parable. There again, all parables are represented as something in a natural realm, but there's always a spiritual application. And when God gives somebody an opportunity to become saved, to give them the wedding garment, to put on the robe of righteousness, is where my message is going to go this evening, to have that robe of righteousness. Every single soul knows. I sing a song from time to time. I remember the very day, the very time, the very moment when God spoke to my heart. I remember it as clear as it was as yesterday. I remember sitting back here, and as the word of God was preached to a revival, and the Lord talked to my heart in a definite, clear way. And I remembered him telling me, if you forsake this, if you don't follow this, if you don't take heart of this, everything you accomplish in this world, whether it be great or small, will have no value to you in eternal life. I remember that. 17 years old, I remember when God talked to my heart, the very moment of that. I may not remember the day or all those things. I know it was in October of 81. I remember those things. But I remember God speaking to me. And every single soul will recognize and remember. And this man, as the king came to him, he goes, why do you not have on a wedding garment? He didn't say, well, nobody offered it to me. I wasn't given one. They didn't have one to fit me. I didn't like it. He didn't have any excuse, but he was speechless. I believe there will be souls that will be the same. They'll be speechless. For we know that there is a wedding garment provided. We know that there is something that we as saints must put on. And he said to him, it was required for him to wear it, a garment of holiness. And as saints of God, as we're children of God, as we come to an altar and we repent from sin and we ask God to save us, we ask God to write our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, he gives us a garment of holiness to wear. Now, someone mentioned this evening, I think Sister Ann and her testimony, I'm not talking about standards. I mean, there's a teaching of standards of that I believe that the Bible, we can show some things in the Bible, how people are supposed to dress and act and different things. But I believe there's a garment of holiness that we receive the very moment we get saved, and a desire to be a person that represents that garment of holiness. And this man did not. He was there at the wedding, and he rejected to put on the garment that was supplied to him. It says here in verse 2 that the kingdom of heaven is like something. Verse 2, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." God sent his only son to this earth to die for you and I. And the Bible lets us know that this plan was designed and put together before the very foundations of the earth. For you and I, that we can become the bridegroom of the Son, the bridegroom of Jesus Christ, to be a part of the marriage. He says the kingdom of God is like unto something. There's many thoughts that we can draw out of these texts and everything in these verses. A lot of thoughts here, but the thought here that I want to mention here, and we're looking at it, as already mentioned, the garment. There is a garment of holiness. There is a garment of righteousness that is provided and is required for you and I to wear to attend this wedding. If you're saved tonight, one day God gave you an invitation to come.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And I thank God I accepted that invitation.
Amen, Lord.
I've received many invitations in my life. How many of you ever been somewhere that you received an invitation, or you were or invited somewhere, and you get there and maybe somehow the invitation was mixed up? A couple years ago, right after COVID, we haven't had seminars at work for a while, but my boss, he asked me to come to me. He goes, they've changed seminars around here from transmission. He goes, there's a seminar down in Florida. He goes, would you like to go to the seminar? He goes, you know, I'll pay for your air flight, I'll pay for your hotel, I'll pay for the seminar and everything, if you want to go down. And he says, you know, I took Lynn with me. Of course, I paid for her air flight and things. We went down there, and I went online and signed up for the seminar and everything. And a few days, within a week or so, they sent me the books of the seminar, and which was a little unusual, but I thought because of COVID, things have changed. So I put the books in my luggage suitcase. I go down to Florida. We get the hotel. The next morning, Lynn takes me to the seminar, drops me off. I walk in there. I tell them who my name is, the company. They don't have me anywhere on the list. I'm like, here, I know I've been in that situation other times with them. And they'll let you in. They'll just, you know, charge the company. But what had happened, and she looked over it, and she looked over it, and she looked over it, and she says, I don't have you anywhere on the list. And you know how that, you've ever been there? And there's a feeling that a little bit, I really wasn't worried, but that little bit of sweatiness. I'm like, all right, what's going to happen now? What's going on? And what had happened is when I signed up for it, they told me they made the mistake. They came to me later. They said, we signed you up to be, to do it online. And I said, that's why you sent me the books. Because usually they don't send you the books. They just give you the books when you get there. But there was that uneasiness. I've been to hotels. You get there, your name's not there. Or there's a mix-up or something in that. It's an uneasy feeling. But I thank God he gives us that invitation. And he allows us to be a part of the bride, allows us to be a part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus says here, invitations were going out. And he sent forth the servants, verse 4, telling them, which were bidden, behold, prepare my dinner, and my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all the things are ready, come into the marriage. And sadly, verse 5 says, and they made light of it. There are many, many people that are making light of the invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that day, it would be the horrific thing in their lives. As the last verse says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Verse 13 says there, and this king's answered, bid him, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him in the outer darkness, for there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why is that? Because they can remember when they had the opportunity to put on the garment. We need to have on the garment of holiness. As saints of God, as we got saved and God gives us that garment of holiness, we need to wear it and a representation of Jesus Christ in a proper way. If we're going to be a part of the marriage of the Lamb, we need to have our garment on. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Verse 7 there, he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. From time to time, we need to be glad. I'm glad that the invitation was given to me, and I'm glad I didn't reject it. I'm glad I didn't make light of it. I didn't finish reading back over there in Matthew where it was, but it says not only did they make light of it, they turned and went to their own ways. They went to their own farms. They went to their own merchants. They did their own thing. You know what? I could have done that. You could have done that same thing. We could have done that very same thing. We could have told the Lord no. We could have said, I don't want anything to do with that. And God may have never ever dealt with us again. And we could have gone into eternity and remembering the day that we rejected the wedding garment. But when we got the invitation and we received it, and he says here in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I have on a wedding garment. Thank God I desire to put on that garment of holiness. Let us be rejoiced and be glad and honor for him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. You know, I don't know how you feel today, but seems like the young people today have made light of marriages.
Yes, it's true.
I could almost even say dishonored it some ways. Mm-hmm. It's a joke.
Yes, sir.
I know there can be some fun times at it, but just in the general things of taking pictures. They don't take a normal, formal picture. Everybody lined up. Everybody's lined up. They've got to be doing something goofy. They've got to be making faces. They've got to be doing all kinds of things. And I've said so many times in the preaching that sometimes through the Word of God, sometimes people, I believe the enemy, can affect things that are there again. A parable is something that is naturally happening, that is something we're associated with the world, but as a spiritual application. And if we make fun of it, if we make light of it, and we're not prepared. And he says here in this verse 7, he goes, the wife hath made herself ready. Are we making ourselves ready to be the wife of Jesus Christ? I want to put on my garment of holiness. Put on a garment of righteousness. Be a righteous child of God for God. Living in this world. You know, I believe that the world today, I believe that in our world today, as I said some a little bit about our political world and things, people, I think there are still some people out there that really do desire to see something right, something good. And I believe as saints of God, when we claim to be children of God and we have that robe of righteousness, I believe there are some people actually watching our lives and hoping that we live up to what we say we really are. They're not going to find you on church on Sunday, and by the end of the weekend, you're in the bar. They're not going to find you being unfair or unrighteous on your taxes. They're not going to be finding you stealing things and committing adultery and doing off-color things in the world. They're not going to find you. You're going to be righteous in every part of your life that the world can recognize. And I believe there are some people in the world that really do desire, I want to see that person stay like they are. We're an example out there. We have on that robe of righteousness, and we prepared ourselves. And he was granted that he should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Verse 9, And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Do you have on the robe of righteousness this evening? Do you recognize the importance of it? Do you recognize the holiness of it? What is the purpose of the robe? What does it signify? What is some of the things that signify the purpose of the robe? Well, we're not going to read all these verses of scriptures, but some of them, Peter said one time over there, he goes, you're called a royal priesthood. You know, when certain people come in a certain attire, we recognize them. And they're given honor. They're given respect because of maybe how they present themselves, how they represent themselves. Well, Peter says to us as saints of God, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto God. Do we recognize that of ourselves? Sometimes we live in a world of disgust, of sin, of sickness, of sin. We live in a world of people who don't have any respect for themselves, have any respect for their lives and everything. And what happens there, we have people like that, and it's so easy for us to get in there and melt with them somewhat or mix with them somewhat, but we need to recognize that we are, as he says there in verse 7, we are a wife that has made herself ready, putting on the robe of righteousness, being a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're still a separate people to God, not to the world, but to God. And as we walk through this sin-filled, curse-filled world, thank God we can live that way holy. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 and 11. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for my soul shall be filled in my God, so my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with the jewels, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will come, will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Sometimes we need to recognize who we really truly are. As I said, Peter said, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And he says here in this verse 10 there, he says, he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. That's a high calling than anything in this world can have. That is the highest calling than anything we can be recognized, a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness. And as we have prepared ourselves, and he goes on through there, again, a little bit of a parable type thing, recognizing, preparing ourselves, making ourselves holy and righteous before the world. The world needs to see the children of God. You know why? Because there are a lot of people out there that are making a comment that I'm a child of God and they're still living in sin. They're still believing and teaching that you have to sin more or less every day. That I can't live above sin. I have to do those things and follow after the things of the world. Do we have on that robe of righteousness today? Peter said, as I said, Peter said, we are a royal priesthood. A high priest has on a garment, an ephod to wear. You know that back in the Old Testament time, we're going to read here in a little bit, that the high priest, they had on a particular garment, a detailed garment. Not just anything. They didn't just wear anything. Let's go back here to Exodus. Bear with me with some of the wordings here and some of this. But Exodus chapter 28. You know, God required Moses to have Aaron and his sons to be a separate people as they worked in the temple. And let's pick up in verse 6. And they shall make the ephod of gold and pearl and blue and of purple and of scarlet and fine twine linen with cunning work. And it shall have two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof. And so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same, according to the works thereof, even of gold, and of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twine linen. And thou shalt take two oxen stones, and engrave on them the names of the children of the Israel, six of their names on the one stone, and six and the other six names on the rest of the stone, according to their birth. He gave Moses a detailed list, a detailed information of what they were to wear. I was going to bring that thought up a little bit earlier about, you know, sometimes we think about standards. And I don't believe he's talking about standards here. There are standards of how we're to dress and how we're to conduct ourselves, how we're to represent ourselves to the world, modesty and those things. But I don't believe he's referring to that. Now, this was a literal thing. God had Moses and Aaron and them to wear this robe. We're going to get in another verse here in just a little bit. To wear this robe. And there was details. And I bring this thought a lot of times in my preaching and things from back in the Old Testament. There's details. Well, just because we're in a new covenant time, God didn't eliminate details. God didn't say you can just live however you want, dress however you want, do whatever you want, represent yourself. You're a representation of Christ. You're a representation of God. I want you to put on the robe of righteousness, holiness, faithfulness to God, living without sin among a wicked world there. I want you to put this robe that I'm going to require of you. The garment here, as I said, he had detail, had the 12 tribes of Israel written on them. Today we wear that robe of righteousness that we only can wear because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can put it on. You can't put it on any other way. The king gave us an invitation. We accepted the invitation. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're able to have this robe put on. Turn over a page and look at verse 36. There was some more things they had to wear. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave it upon it. And the engraving of the signet says, Holiness unto the Lord. And I like how that's all bold capital print. I believe it's important. Holiness. We're to be a holy living people among a sinful world. I thank God that we're supposed to be that way. It's still that way. If this world stands for 10,000 years, that will still be the requirement. That will still be the requirement of holiness unto God. There's a song in our songbook that I enjoy. I've sang a lot myself, but I always enjoy it. And the song says, Stand Up for Jesus. And the very first verse, I didn't write it all down, it says, Lift up his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Every one of us, every saint that's across this world, God says, you're going to put on a robe of holiness. And you and I are the ones that need to lift up the banner of holiness. And if we don't, and if we let that banner down, and that's where the song comes in, lift up, lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Well, I don't believe in holiness no more. I don't believe we have to live holy. I don't believe we have to live righteous. I don't believe we have to live free from sin. I don't believe in all these things. I don't believe you need to be in services and church and read your Bible and pray. I don't believe in all those things. That's where people are today. But when we lift up the flag of holiness, we lift up the royal banner, as he says, that it doesn't suffer lost. We're living in a time of unusual times, of sin. You know, sin is sin. I know sometimes we categorize sin and we put it in, and in our life, in our time in the last 20 years, I guess, you know, the thing with homosexuality and same-sex marriage and all has just exploded somewhat and has been unusual to us. You know, when they pass a law, a state passes a law, we're to accept same-sex marriage. That was not good to our ears. And to almost a lot of people. But you know what happened? One state did it, another state did it, this state did it, that state did it. And look at, I don't know how long ago that was, 20 years or maybe even more. Look at how that long, and how it wasn't right with us. It didn't sound right, even among the world. But now we're criticized if we don't even accept it. Even churches have gotten into it. In my time, I've had people come to me, or have told me, they said, my church is getting together this certain night and we're going to have a discussion, we're going to have a meeting, whether we will accept marrying same-sex marriage. I'm thinking to myself, there's no need to. The Bible is clear on that. There's a word that has came out here recently. How many people have gone woke? And when I first heard it, I didn't even have any idea what that was. I'm like, what in the world is that? I had to sort of look it up. I think I even asked Dougie or someone. I said, what does that really mean? I'm not really sure. I don't know if I can really give you an explanation. But that's the way the world is. But when we live holiness, when we live righteousness in this world, then we're the ones that are a martyr in a sense. We're the ones that are cast down. Now, again, what I said a little bit ago, one sin, that's sin. That's sin before God. God can save people and deliver people from that. But that sin is really no different than adultery, than fornication, than murder, than stealing, than any of these things. They're all the same. So we've been used to those sins over the years. We've been used to, some of you, I don't want to date your time, but some of you may have remembered when moonshine was being ran, okay? You know, and it was illegal. And they would ran it, and then they finally, what even years it was, then they finally passed it to where now they're going to sell it by the government and things, which they just turned around and done again with marijuana. And it was illegal, and now they've turned around and they sold it, and how crazy that is. It's no different of a sin of when that was and when this is doing it the same thing. It's the same thing. And as saints, we need to be careful. We need to live righteous. We need to live holy. We need not to, we can stand our ground and tell people the Word of God says this. Well, we can say the same thing about someone that's living. Jesus did it. I said this morning, Samaritan woman, that's living in sin, that's fornicating, that's an adultery, that's those things. God says it's wrong. You know, and we can leave it that way. We don't have to browbeat people or hurt them in a sense. But we need to keep our robe of righteousness faithful. And not to be allowed it to be tainted with the sinful things of the world and accept them. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 7 one more time. I like this particular verse of scripture. In verse 7, chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I thank God. I enjoy that verse. I see that that's going to happen to the saints of God one day. We're going to enter into the kingdom of God and we're going to have on that robe of righteousness. There's not going to be anybody, as we started out with the king's marriage there and the supper and everything. There's a song in our songbook. I don't know what page it is. I'd look it up. There's a song in our songbook, and it says, when you come up to the door to enter into the kingdom of God, and I'm going to rephrase it a little bit, and you don't have on a robe of righteousness, you know what's going to happen? It's going to stop you right there, and you're not going in. It will, the song says, it will stop you at the door and bar you out forevermore. The king said, you don't have on a robe of righteousness. And he asked him why. He was speechless. He said, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. That's where that parable goes into. And that's where the song says, it will stop you at the door, bar you out forevermore if you don't have on that robe of righteousness. Thank God, as he says here in Revelation, and he said to me, sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. Saints, we're in a great tribulation today. And every saint that has ever lived for God from the time, whether it was from the time of Christ or even back even before the time that, all the way up to today, we are living in a great tribulation. I've often listened to sometimes Brother Barber's tapes or some minister's tapes that was some way back. And I remember them talking about how bad it was. I'm like, if you took them out of that and dropped them off here today, they would probably have a stroke of what they see today. And here's the fearful thing, saints, and I'm not saying this to hurt our feelings, but how we may not accept sin, but be cushy with some of it because it's accustomed to us. If we told Brother Barber or some of the ones that even before him or the pastors before them, if we told him it's okay, our land has allowed same-sex marriage, they would lose their mind. How? how could that even happen? Why? There's no possible way. But see, you know what happened? It came in slow and easy and little by little until now it's accepted. And not only that, but many other things are accepted. Like, say, the sale of marijuana and those things like that. He said, what are these in the robes? These are the saints that came through the great tribulation. And these are the ones that have washed their blood in the Lamb's blood. I thank God, as I don't know if it's a song or saying, he took a black heart. A black heart that's full of sin, filthy rags, and washed them in the blood of Jesus Christ. And they came out white. A robe of righteousness. And our song verse, song page, not going to turn here, but 415, it says, without spot and blameless, my brother, she lives neath the all-cleansing blood. I thank God for that. Do we have on that robe of righteousness? It's provided. Help us to put it on. Help us to wrap it around us. Help us to live holy. To wear that insignia that we read back there in Genesis, or back in Israel, or Isaiah, whatever it was back in Genesis, maybe. Holiness unto the Lord. Remember that. That's what God called us to be. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 270. Page 270.
Believed to many.
that's far and grace rallying me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with countless days to sing God's praise. Then when we first begun.
Amen. Amazing grace, thank the Lord. Good to see each one out today. Pray to God to bless you throughout the week.